The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. And really good having you join us here as we spend the next 30 minutes talking about gambling addiction and the addicts like myself. Dan Schlauer was off this week. And happy to have Michael, a gambler in recovery from Virginia, joining us this weekend. Mike, it's Craig. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
How long has it been since your last wager, if you don't mind me asking?
Today marks 150 days.
Congratulations. Half a year. I'm very proud of you. And I imagine that you feel much better than you did 6.5 months ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is this your first time going that long without gambling, or have you tried it before unsuccessfully?
I have tried to stop gambling previously. It was always like, you know, trying to do it on my own, not with without some of the support of Gamblers Anonymous or any of the other folks that, and, you know, that can assist as far as like counseling and whatnot. So 150 days is the longest I've ever actually been sober, if you will. I know that folks sometimes don't think it's sobriety, but it really is. For me, it has literally changed my life in a variety of ways.
That's awesome. No, listen, it's our version of sobriety. It's all recovery, right? Whether it's drugs, alcohol, or gambling. None of us go into it with the notion, hey, I might get to a place where I can't control it. Much like most people who drink or do drugs, the first time they do it, the eighth time they do it, recreationally have no notion that all of a sudden it might very well take over their lives and, you know, create something inside their brain that makes them make really bad decisions. So by all means, if you want to use that term, use it. When were you first exposed to gambling as a younger man? Do you remember kind of early on in your life? Was it a relative that gambled or something along those lines?
Actually, growing up very poor, and my first experience was just scratch tickets at the local corner store. I actually was talking about this during my GA meeting recently, that my first scratch, my first bet was my worst one, because I took $5, you know, being a poor kid, $5 was a lot of money.
Sure.
Slapped down, got five $1 tickets, and I happened to win. I won like $100. Wow. And for some reason, my brain, my gambler's brain, made me feel like, oh, easy money, this will be, and it's just never changed. It was always something. It wasn't like anybody that I knew. I don't think my father gambled. I don't know that my mother gambled. Really, it was something within inside of myself. I do have a sister that has struggled with her gambling addiction to the point that, you know, she's had to face some legal consequences for it. So yeah, that was many years ago. She's turned her life around when it comes to it. But it was a scary point for me, and it was something that, you know, kind of stuck out and quelled my desire to gamble for a long time. But over the last year or so, actually probably over the last 10 years, I've actually really started to see the gambling addiction take over. And I started everything from when I was having a good day to having a bad day. I was celebrating or I was commiserating, it didn't matter. Gambling become a part of it. If I was having a bad day, my mind told me, well, just go gamble, because, you know, when you win, that dopamine rush and everything will make you feel better. And when I was having a great day, it was the opposite. Hey, you're doing so good, maybe luck is on your side today. And that's just kind of how my brain worked for a long time. Everything I associated with gambling, celebrations or anything.
Did you graduate quickly from scratch-offs to other forms of gambling?
I did. I mean, when I realized that, you know, casinos and all the bright lights and the sounds and everything, I was one of those guys that, you know, I could go in and sit down, didn't have to have people with me. It could do it by myself. And most of the times I did, because, well, to be honest with you, I was embarrassed. And I liked to gamble, but I also didn't like to lose money. And
let me stop you there. Were you embarrassed by the amounts you were betting, or embarrassed by the amount of time you were spending, or some kind of combination?
Absolutely, it was a combination. There are times, even like the local grocery or the local corner store, I would go in. My corner store now, I actually walk in and the guy knows that I'm in gambling in GA and that I'm in recovery. And it used to be when I would come in, he'd be like, hey, let me show you this ticket over here. Guy just spent $100. And he would fuel it. And now it's gotten to a point where I'm very vocal about it. I talk to folks because I would go in and I would spend a certain amount of money, like $100, maybe even $200 at one store at one time buying scratch tickets. And when I would lose that, because I didn't want people to know how serious my addiction was, I would leave that store and I would go store hopping and do the same thing.
Right.
There were days when I dropped $1,000 just on scratch tickets.
Wow.
Where I would win a little bit and I would just put it right back in. Win $500 at lunch. And by the time I went home, you know, an hour after leaving work, that $500 was gone because I had already bought that amount of scratch tickets.
And just, I always wonder this. You know, I was in rehab with some people that had scratch-off dependencies and addictions, much like you're talking about. And I always wondered, could you walk me through, like, I know how I process gambling, most specifically through blackjack. I know how, you know, the rush I felt in my body, the way my brain kind of emotionally processed it. I've said many times on the show that, you know, if I was driving down to Atlantic City when I got to the Egg Harbor Township toll, I felt a rush come over my body head to toe that I loved. It made me feel good. It made me feel different. And it was tangible, like the way my body was processing the fact that I was getting closer to the casino. And then, you know, my wife used to say that I had a casino walk, you know, that was a much, you know, a faster pace of walk going from the entrance of the casino ultimately to, you know, a blackjack table or whatever the case may be. When you would play scratch offs, you played scratch off in the same way that I played blackjack, which I assume, you know, I played blackjack all alone. I didn't play with anybody else. There's no one else at my table. And the more privacy, the better. Not so much because I was embarrassed. There's an aspect of it where I just didn't want people to know how much I was wagering because the numbers were so obscene. But I didn't want the audience. I wanted to do it by myself. I liked being alone. And I imagine, not knowing this for a fact, that when you're playing scratch offs, there's a lot of time sitting in your car or on a park bench by yourself with a quarter, you know, scratching the ticket off. Can you describe for me when you would buy $100 worth of tickets, what the process was like to scratch them off?
Well, I see people who understood that, especially here in Virginia, you know, to see if they won. And they weren't really gambling in the fashion that I was. They were looking for the money. They were just bottom line business. You know, they to me, it was systematic. Scratch off the numbers, depending on what game it was. Like some of mine were the multiplier games and stuff. And I would scratch off the numbers and I'd go one by one, you know, to see the numbers. I liked the rush of is this the ticket? And like any gambler, I had this feeling all the time that next ticket was going to be that million, $5 million, $10 million winner. And I just had to keep scratching because the odds, you know, have to get better as I continue to buy tickets. And that's, I'm sure that's true in some mathematical formula, but the reality was, is I think the odds are something like 1 in 3 million. And well, I bought 10,000 of that ticket. I should have won something. And I never did. The most I probably ever won, I think twice in my life on a scratch-off ticket, I won $1,000. But I can tell you that I would drop $1,000 in a day so many times that it was just I was always chasing the trying to get the money back. I was chasing the trying to do it. But I sat there, like you said, I would buy a couple of tickets. And usually if I've spent $100, I would bury it, you know, a ticket here, one of these, you know, $20 here, $20 here, a couple of tens. After a little while, I graduated definitely from $1, $5, $10 tickets to you got to buy the 20, you got to buy the 30.
Right.
You know, if you do win, you want those.
So let me ask you this before we get to the, you know, the turnaround that you've now been able to enjoy in your life. For most gamblers, myself included, there's either a moment or kind of a combination of moments that, you know, we kind of represent as our, you know, bottom of the barrel, our last straw. For some people, you know, it's breaking the law or, you know, making really bad decisions that cost you your job or marriage or, you know, everything under the sun. I wonder for you what your bottom of the barrel moment was that made you finally wake up one day, you know, 150 days ago and say, all right, buddy, that's it. I have to be done. I got to go get help. What happened?
Well, and like I said, October 10th was when I woke up to that. In September, the month before, I got remarried. And that whole month, my wife didn't realize our finances weren't co-located, so she didn't really have insight into what was going on. I've changed that since as part of my recovery. She sees what she has access to my accounts and everything. But for me, it was, I graduated from the scratch tickets to being able to use my phone to do the gambling. And I was driving down the roads. I was playing softball with my phone in my back pocket and standing in the outfield. And when the play wasn't to me, I had gotten so addicted over about a 2 month span to the using my phone to gamble that I was playing softball and gambling, driving and gambling. I'm back porch with my wife, who thought I was just playing a regular game.
And wait, so let me get this right. So you're playing a softball game, your cell phone's in your back pocket, and you're making wagers like middle of the game with your cell phone on you during games?
Middle of the inning. I wasn't even in the dugout. I was in the outfield and clicking the button. I was that hooked on it that I just couldn't put it down. I was driving down the road, couldn't put it down, and I just it dominated every facet. When
so what happened? She found out and called you on it, or something else happened?
No, I actually, there was a little bit of a reprieve from the VA lottery. They put a cap on how much you could spend per month. And the first month when I did it, and I think it was $5,000, I had used $5,000, $5 at a time, clicking the button on my phone. It stopped me, and it wouldn't allow me to do it until the next month. The next month, I kicked it in again. And now I was petrified because I didn't want her to know, and I wanted her to try to, I wanted to leave the facade up that I was actually not an addict. Right. And I continued to play. The next month, when I lost the $5,000 again, 10 grand in 2 months, that's when I knew I had a problem. The first night I had the app on my phone, I didn't sleep. I literally laid in bed. My wife was completely out of it, sleeping, got a good night's rest. And I sat there all night long until the sun come up, clicking that phone, clicking that button, and just trying to get the dopamine. At first it was, I had won a few dollars. They hooked you well. I mean, the lottery system knows how to play it. You know, they get you the numbers one off so that you're like, oh, I'm so close, and the rush, and, you know, on the scratcher tickets. Well, they do the same thing on the game. You see trends and you start to think, oh, I'm smarter than the game and I can figure this out and I've got it beat. The problem is that you don't. And the problem is that they know how to manipulate it so that you keep taking the bait. Oh, I was up $300. Oh, it's gone now. Well, let me just put another $100 on there. Let me do it again. That was my thought process.
Yep.
And all night long, I'm sitting there trying to get my $100 back, and $5,000 later, gone.
No, I'm with you. I will take a break here 1 second. You know, I can relate to that because, you know, I went on a family trip to Italy once, and I was playing blackjack on my phone. Now, this was before he was – you know, all the websites were out there that you could legally play casino games. So there was kind of like a black market online casino based in Vegas and Malta, of all places. And I'll never forget, I'm in Italy, and I'm playing blackjack on my phone, sitting by the pool, going to the bathroom, at dinner, et cetera, all the stuff you're talking about. And I was up $100,000. I'll never forget it. Most people, sane people, would be like, no effing way. I'm up 100 grand. I'm going to wait for them to pay me before I waste another nickel of my money, right?
Absolutely.
And, of course, by the time I came home from Italy, $100,000 was zero, a couple more deposits from me to them, and they thanked me by sending me a 60-inch Samsung television to my house. That was thanks for blowing 100 grand plus. But let me take a quick break,
yeah,
and I want to hear how life has changed for the better for you as we continue with Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you a few more moments here, and happy to have down in Virginia Michael, a fellow gambler in recovery. So, Mike, you send the $10,000 over 2 months to the online Virginia lottery. And you recognize that's not a good idea. Plus, your wife's kind of catching on to you know, the financial picture, which is also not very good. And you've clearly been lying to her, or hiding the truth is maybe a better way to put it when it came to finances. When you woke up that morning and said, okay, I've got a problem, did you go to your wife right away and say, honey, I've got a problem, I want to come clean? Or did you try to fix it on your own before kind of opening up to her about what was going on?
The first thing I did is I actually called the gambler's hotline and confessed, you know, confessed my sins, if you will, and said, I need help. I don't know what to do.
Yep.
I've been in this situation before, and I've tried to call the number. Nobody answered. Nobody replied. This time, I got an immediate phone call. The gentleman who is my facilitator now called me within an hour, and I had a counselor on the phone. And I think that was the biggest thing for me. It took me almost a month before I did fess up to my wife very quickly that I felt I had a problem and that I was going to start seeking some counseling for it. But I was very vague. I didn't tell her about the money right away. That was a part of my embarrassment. And my first in-person GA meeting, we talked about the theme of that meeting happened to be ego. And as a former military guy, former Marine, maybe a little more specific, as a former Marine officer, there was days when I thought I was bulletproof.
Sure.
Especially as a young man, I never wanted to admit that you never wanted to admit you had faults. You never wanted to admit you were scared, you were nervous. And for me, losing not only my financial stability, but losing a life that I had worked so hard to get, that scared me. And then going to the meetings and hearing what others have had to deal with through gambling, it scared me. It scared me a great deal. For me, though, it took about a month and sitting in a GA meeting to realize that without completely telling my wife the extent of my gambling issues, that I would never actually take the meaningful steps to try to become gambling free. And so as I left my GA meeting in Richmond, I got on the phone 3 minutes out because I drive down about an hour in order to go to this meeting. And,
sure.
And the reason I go that length is because of the people that are there. The support in the GA community can actually be the biggest asset and help to stop gambling. So they encouraged me and supported me to realize that, like a lot of gamblers who are concerned that will vote their spouses, will say that I have to be honest with her. And if I truly cared about her, that I would tell her. And so I did.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest conversations anyone, man or woman, has had.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously I'm with you. And what a lot of us do is we try to sugarcoat it a little bit at first. It's like you want to put your toe in the water, make sure it's okay to jump in. And it's very normal for gamblers, in my experience now, almost 6 years in recovery, where you don't want to just throw everything on the table at once because it's a lot. So I'm not going to tell you everything. And let me kind of gauge the reaction to a little bit of the story, which is totally normal for people as they're starting to come clean, because it's overwhelming. It's a lot to share with a spouse and a loved one. You know, all the secretive stuff you've been doing and hiding, and, you know, how much the addiction has ruined your life. And to be fair, without them knowing it, it starts ruining, you know, their lives as well. You know, they're the innocent bystanders who love you more than anyone, who are in harm's way. If you don't mind me asking,
sure.
150 days in, which, again, is awesome, and you should be proud of that. And I'm proud of you for getting there because it's harder than what a lot of people think. And you're on a really good path, which is really awesome that, you know, you're on that path right now. And I hope we can talk in another 150 days, you know, and celebrate your 300th day of recovery together. I always tell people that, you know, it kind of, it's like the old cliche, you know, it's darkest before the dawn. And now that you're 150 days in, give me an idea of just how much easier life is for you mentally, emotionally, financially, relationship wise, and what a difference you're witnessing and living right now. And again, it's barely even 6 months, but what's life like for you now?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I can say that has changed for me is enjoyment of life. And I'll give you a couple. Like I said, I'm present now. You know, instead of sitting on the back porch playing my game and not really engaging in conversations with my wife, I put the phone down. We've talked about a variety of different things, to include my gambling addictions, making plans for other things. One of my, as obviously as, and I'm sure you know this, it first started with scratchers. It moved to the online piece, which included sports gambling, which I've never been a huge sports gambler. But when I started doing the VA lottery thing, that's when I got onto the, you know, the fan duels and all this other stuff. And, for me, I'm a huge college football fan. And, I started watching games that I had zero interest in because I had money on it. And I was more concerned about people covering the spread than I was about just enjoying the game. The day that I deleted the game or deleted the app on my phone, and I was able to actually enjoy a college football game and go back to my normal life, it was pretty awesome. And I have felt a huge burden and weight off of my shoulders because I've been able to actually enjoy things more. Now, I will say that I did find myself playing softball again and having my phone in my as I was in the alpha, but it was because it was a Saturday morning. We were doing batting practice, and I was attending a GA meeting while I was still being active, only for a few minutes at least with them. And I wanted to show my face and say, hey, you know, here I am. But I had definitely realized that there's other things out there. I also have started coaching middle school wrestlers, and that has been more rewarding to give back and do – and be, like I said, not only be present, but to try to make an impact. And last night we wrapped up our season, and many of the kids come up and expressed their thanks for me for coaching. I've actually got some young men who I think have looked up to me. Obviously, they don't know my gambling addiction and things, but they looked up to me for, you know, being out there and sweating with them and running with them and climbing the hills with them. And, you know, being so adamant about that they have the self-confidence and do the different things that I remember my coaches putting into me. So I think the biggest thing is just realizing that there's more to life than gambling, that even when I celebrate things, that I don't have to go and get a scratch ticket to, you know.
Well, I would also say this to you, and I'm no shrink, you know, far from it, but, you know, you made a decision as a younger man, you know, to fight for your country, right, as a Marine. And becoming a Marine officer, I can't imagine, you know, what it took to get to that level and all the sacrifices you have to make. So my gut tells me, having never met you, that gambling for you was the anomaly, because you have to be extraordinarily selfless to want to dedicate yourself, you know, to your country in the manner you did. So the fact that you're dedicating yourself and volunteering to coach kids and be a positive influence in children's lives, to me, is much more apropos of who you are as a person than the amount of time you spent selfishly, you know, gambling. So I think, and I've experienced something very similar to you, not gambling has allowed me to get back to the core root of who I am. When I was gambling, looking back on it, you know, with the clarity I have now, and I'm sure you're kind of getting much more clarity on the decisions you made and why you gambled, the amount of time you wasted in your life on gambling, and the farther away you get from gambling, the more clarity you'll find you get, is you've gotten back to the core root of who you are. You know, a selfless man that cares about, you know, his fellow man, and is willing to spend his time helping other people, which is, you know, what the Marines obviously in part stand for. So I think what you're finding is that you're happier now because you're also getting back to who you really are. And the gambling part of you is the anomaly. That was the outlier part of your personality that obviously you don't like. So I'm so proud of you and hearing that story. You know, I share this all the time, Mike, and that is one of the worst parts of the gambling addiction. If you take even all the money out of it, and trust me, I'm going to have financial problems the rest of my life, and I have to deal with that, and I got to own that, right? Yeah. And there's certain relationships I'll never get back, and that'll always, you know, be sad. I'll always have a stain in my heart for relationships that I ruined and changed forever in a negative manner. But the upside of not gambling for me, one of the biggest ones, is that word present. because I'm blessed. I have four beautiful, healthy children and an amazing, spouse and family members. And I went through a period of time for about 18 months to 2 years for me in which I was physically there, but I was never there. And just being able to enjoy moments that would mean absolutely nothing to anybody else. You know, like my son last night playing guitar for an hour for me and my wife, right?
Oh, man.
Where, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years, I guess 7 years ago, whatever it is, I would have been there. I wouldn't have heard a single note the kid played. But being able to sit there and watch him and see him and hear him play was like the most amazing night I've had. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So I do think being able to be present, to use your life experiences and now your story to guide other people eventually when you get to a place where you're comfortable doing it is going to be awesome for you. And my fingers are crossed that, you know, you get to 151 days and then, you know, 200, 300 and years and years and years. And you should know that there's a lot of people that are proud of you that will continue to pull for you as you go on this journey that so many of us are on.
Absolutely.
Mike, I really appreciate you coming on. And again, I do hope we can have this conversation again another 6 months down the line. And obviously, Dan's got my contact info. If you ever need somebody to talk to or if you're feeling a certain way, please use me as a resource 24/7. And I appreciate the journey you're on. And I do wish you the very, very best of luck. And I agree with the sentiment that you're sharing there. And I'm glad you found a room that you're comfortable in. And I will tell you, there's a solace there. For those of us, the very first time you walk in a GA room, it's daunting. It's tough. I walked out of the first six rooms I was in. And then, like you, I finally found a random room that just felt right to me. And hearing other people share their stories where I thought I was, you know, the greatest gambler of all time in blackjack, and no one else could have ever processed how I gambled emotionally or mentally. What you just said is dead on. Every single gambling addict has processed gambling exactly the same way emotionally and mentally, regardless if it's a dollar scratch off or $15,000 on a hand of blackjack. And I appreciate your time very, very much. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Craig. Thank you for having me. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Mike in Virginia. And again, what I just said is maybe the most factual thing I've ever said on this radio station. There's nothing special about any of us when it comes to gambling and how we process the addictive nature of gambling. A dollar, $15,000, anything in between, we process it very similarly. Now, recovery is not one size fits all, that's for sure. But if you're committed to it and you're willing to open up and start being honest and sharing, you know, the decisions you're making, the bad decisions you're making, and start sharing how you're feeling about things with the people you can trust, you know, helps there, man. I always say it is a single phone call away and you can get your life right back on track. And I'm living proof of it. You know, at the end of June this year, if I get there, I will have gotten to 6 years without making a single wager of any kind. And for a guy who used to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to go play blackjack and played blackjack 7 days a week and underground games and took helicopters in the darkness of night to get in a quick couple racks of blackjack and gambled for 7 minutes at 3 o'clock in the morning because I had to, you know, feed that insatiable desire to wager. The fact that I can get to where I'm at means that anybody can do it because there's absolutely nothing special about me. Appreciate, as always, your time. Joe Beningo's coming up next. And then next week again, Danny will be back, and we'll do another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Have a great day, and thank you for listening.